When we moved into our home a few years ago, the next summer or spring, Laura and I decided we wanted to plant a garden in our yard, just with some herbs and a few vegetables here and there, and so we became gardeners. Lauren mostly did the gardening. I kind of cleared the space and built the raised bed and stuff like that, but she really is the gardener of the household. And this summer, understandably, some of that gardening got a little behind. The less she was able to bend over, the more weeds and stuff didn't get tended to, and I just kind of went along mowing around it and what have you, and I didn't really notice until our tomato plants, which were just producing tomatoes, unending tomatoes, all of a sudden they started to scale back. And we would go out to harvest, Leah and I, this was one of our favorite pastimes, we would go out to the backyard and just eat tomatoes right off the vine, and we would get there and there would be less tomatoes to choose from. Less good ones, anyway. And what I realized was that the branches, or the vines, the tomato vines, they had either fallen off or wrapped themselves around one another, or some of the tomatoes had fallen to the ground, and there were all these kind of flies flying around the bad tomatoes that had fallen into the garden. And we realized that not only were the flies then eating the bad tomatoes that had fallen, but they were starting to get up to the good tomatoes, and they were making them go bad more quickly. And even within the vines, you could see all these brown vines and leaves and stuff hanging around. And what needed to happen was some pruning, right? You gardeners know you got to prune things, right? I got in there and took away everything I could, all the brown, bad vines, all of the tomatoes that had fallen, took them all away, and all of a sudden, our tomatoes started to be plentiful again. Jesus talks about pruning in this image that we're looking at this fall, about how God is the gardener and Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. In verse 2, he says, He, the gardener, Jesus' Father, Father God, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Now, what I think is fascinating about this is that Jesus doesn't say that God prunes or cuts off the bad branches and he just leaves the good branches. He doesn't say that. God doesn't just leave them alone. He says the bad branches, the ones that don't produce any fruit, he removes. And the good ones, he prunes so that they can produce more fruit. In other words, none of us will ever be good enough that we won't need a little cutting around the edges. Whether we're not producing any fruit, or whether we're producing lots of fruit, the gardener is going to come and do a little snipping. Gardens, vines must be pruned. The question is, what kind of cutting is the gardener going to do around our branches? Is he going to remove us because we're just done? And if you look at the vine, you know what branches aren't producing any fruit, right? It's pretty obvious. Whether you're harvesting grapes or tomatoes or whatever it is, especially as it goes on, they're brown. And the thing about the brown branches, the branches that need to be pruned, is that they're really easy to prune, aren't they? Like, I didn't even have to take my shears out into the garden to get some of these branches off. You just do a little this and they're gone, because they've lost their connection to the vine. And so they're not bearing fruit anymore. And it's really clear. So we have to look at our lives and at our churches. And I think this applies on so many levels, individually, communally, all of these levels. We have to look at our lives and say, am I bearing fruit? When the gardener comes and looks at me, my branch, or our church, or whatever the case may be, does he see a branch that needs to be removed because all it's doing is sucking up the life from the other branches? Or is he just going to prune me so I can bear more fruit? He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. All of the decision making by this gardener, God, is based on whether the branch is producing fruit. If you are a tomato vine, your purpose is to produce tomatoes. Write that down. Write that down in your notes. If you're a grapevine, your purpose is to produce... Very good. Very good. You guys, it's a bright crowd this morning. I didn't ask you guys. I don't... You're beyond, but... Anyway, the purpose of a vine and branches, in this case, is to produce... In Jesus' case, is to produce grapes, to produce fruit. It's not just to be there. It's not just to hang out on the vine. It's to produce fruit. So we have to ask ourselves then, what kind of fruit is God looking for in our lives? What do you think? Whether it's our own lives or whether it's the life of the church, what kind of fruit is God looking for when he comes to our branch? Good fruit. But let's get kind of specific, to get out of the metaphor a little bit and ask, what would that good fruit look like in a church or in a person's life? Your talents? So you're kind of cultivating the gifts that God has given you and using them? Fruits of the Spirit. That's Paul in Galatians 5. He talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. I'm missing one. That's okay. What's that? Meekness. Okay. So yeah, those things should be coming out in our lives. We should be able to see those in one another's lives. Okay, what else? What other kinds of fruit? Time, activity, people. More people. Right. And I actually think Jesus is very specifically talking about, I think it works on a number of levels, but I think he's talking about people. That he is forming a missional community. A community of people who go out and spread the word and invite people to be grafted onto this vine. And I think the fruit that he's talking about is people who are coming into this vine, into this community, into this church, into this movement, whatever you want to call it. We're called to produce fruit. And if we look at some of Jesus' other words, his last words to his disciples, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them and so on. The vine of Jesus, what did Jesus do in his life? He made disciples, didn't he? You know, he did lots of other things. He did lots of signs, healings and things like that to authenticate that he was the Messiah. But the legacy he left was the disciples that he made, right? That was the fruit that the vine of Jesus produced. And so this movement, and then he sends them out and he says, go and make disciples. He says, you need to be producing the same fruit that I've produced, making disciples. So the question is, as the gardener comes to us, is are we producing this kind of fruit? Are we making disciples? Are we inviting? Are we seeing people come onto be grafted onto the vine with us? And if we're not, he says, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. And I don't know exactly what that means. All right? What does it mean for that to be removed? I don't know exactly, but we should take it seriously that God cares whether we're producing fruit in our lives. It's a wake, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. It's a wake-up call. We need to listen to that. That if we're not producing fruit as an individual or as a community, it says, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, though, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. We're never done with this process. So again, this, I think, applies on so many levels, individually and as a church, this passage right here and this pruning process that needs to take place. Tim Keller He's a pastor in New York. I've quoted him a number of times. He says, we judge our communities and we judge our own lives with two categories that he says just aren't really helpful. He says, on one hand, we can judge them by success. So we can just count numbers and dollars and building square footage and things like that. And he says, that really isn't what we're looking for. Okay, that's not a good judge of a community necessarily. But then he says the other way that we sometimes want to judge our communities is based on our faithfulness. And that sounds like a good thing, right? Like, well, you know, no, we're not growing. No, we don't have the big budget. No, we don't have all the people coming into our doors. But we're being faithful, right? That's all you can do is be faithful. And so we say the right things and we sing the right songs and we do these. He says, that's not it either. That's not a good judge either, because God calls us to be fruitful. And you can say all the right words and sing all the right songs, but we're called to produce fruit. And so we have to look around us at the people around us that we're the fruit that is the, we have the potential to bear, and say, how can we be producing fruit? Not just how can we say the right things and do the right things, how can we actively be producing fruit? We need to judge ourselves, or evaluate ourselves, maybe I should say, by fruitfulness. So as a community, we have to be honest with ourselves. We need, because it's a wake-up call, right? So we need to wake up and be honest with ourselves. Are we producing fruit? And if not, we have to ask. And if not, we have to say, well, how can we be producing fruit? But even if we are producing a little fruit, and I think a lot of you would say, yeah, we're producing some fruit. Some of us are growing. Some of us are, we're seeing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on growing up in our lives. We're seeing a few people every so often that come in. And so we're bearing a little bit of fruit, but how does God want to prune us as a community? And I think this fall and in this season of our church life, God is coming to our church, and I think he's saying, I've seen some fruit born here, but it's time to do some pruning. Like when I came to my garden and I realized that this is not producing, these tomato vines are not producing what they could be producing, it's time to do some pruning. I think that's how God sees our community right now, our church. We need to do some pruning so that we can produce a little more fruit. And that's what some of the changes we're talking about are about. All right? So I'm just going to be very specific for a moment. One of the changes we've talked about is our membership and how we look at membership. And we say we have 240 members, and I mean, look around. That's not right, really. We're not a community of 240 people. We need to prune that down a little bit and say, who is actually a thriving part of this community, a community, the branches that are really plugged into this vine of this body of Christ community. And let's look at how we think about membership. And that's pruning. Another big change we're making, and I normally wouldn't want to start here, but one change that we have felt like we have to make is how we structure ourselves. And so one of the pruning things that we're going to be talking about and voting on hopefully this fall is our structure and our boards. We're going to kind of be pruning some of those boards. And the reason you prune, again, is to make room for the really fruitful branches to produce as much fruit as they possibly can. And it's not saying that those branches weren't producing fruit a few years ago. So the structure that we have now with all our boards and stuff, at one time it might have been producing lots of fruit. But right now it's not. And so we're pruning those back a little bit. And we want the whole community, not just our leaders, we want our whole community, as we talked about last week, to be growing and flourishing. And we think that one of the ways we can do that is by pruning back some of our structures and making room for more people to flourish, more gifts to have space to really be used and applied to the church and to our neighborhoods. We're pruning a little bit. And churches must always be pruning, I think, for two reasons. There is no good excuse for not pruning in a church. Okay, one of the reasons that churches must always be pruning is that no church is ever perfect. So you might look back 50 years ago and say, hey, this was a great church, or 20 years ago, or whatever, this was a great church. You weren't perfect then. You're not perfect now. My church wasn't perfect then. My church isn't perfect. Well, we're together now. There's no church that's ever been perfect. So there's always room to grow for a church. Even the best vines, Jesus says, even the ones that produce fruit, God prunes so they can produce more fruit. The second reason that churches must always be pruning is because bearing fruit is, it doesn't require the same thing year after year after year. You know, we don't read the Bible in Latin anymore, right? It wasn't that that was bad or wrong in Rome, in ancient Rome, but we realized in order to produce fruit, we could have faithfully read our Latin Bibles, but we said in order to produce fruit, we have to change because our culture is changing, the target is moving. The church has been changing over the last 2,000 years, and pruning and bearing fruit and pruning and bearing fruit. And so churches, because our target is moving, we have to prune and do new things and do things in a different way because the culture is moving. It's not okay to just say, well, we're happy here. We're being faithful. We're called to be fruitful. And so we must allow God to prune and take back even some good things. I had to prune back some branches that I thought, you know, this is okay, this might produce, but it was getting in the way of branches that were really producing more. I had to prune it back. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part about this whole thing, about being a community, about being a Christian, is that God's always pruning so that we can bear more fruit. So when we talk about changing, and the response I hear a lot is, well, we don't just want to change for change's sake. No, you're right. I didn't just go into my garden and take my clippers and start just cutting randomly because I just wanted it to change. No, we don't change for change's sake. We remove things that are not producing what they could produce so that whatever God is doing among us now, whatever new thing God is always doing new things, can flourish and can blossom and can produce fruit. Change is not dismissing what has been done in the past. It's not saying that was bad. Again, all of our churches have done not good things in the past, but that's not what we're saying necessarily. We're not saying it's bad what was done in the past. We're just saying it's not bearing fruit anymore. We're not saying that the board structure, as it was bad. We're just saying that it's not bearing the fruit that we believe this church can produce. Is that clear? We're also not saying, when we say we're going to get rid of some things, we're not saying we're getting rid of people. We're not saying, forget it, you don't have a place here. We're saying, you all have gifts that need to be used, that this church needs. And we want to help you to use them in the fullest way possible. And we also want to make room for more people to come in and be able to use their gifts and follow their callings with us. We don't want to snuff that out. Our life as a church comes from the vine. And the vine is not our past. The vine is not our traditions. The vine is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So if God is pruning us at this time, if we're losing members, if we're losing programs, if we're losing structures, let's trust and hope that it's because God has more fruit to produce in us. That if God is taking away something, it's to make room for something more and new and better. Okay? Any questions about any? I just want to open it up. any questions about anything that we've talked about this morning, or concerns about anything that's going on, or changes that you've heard about or have questions about? No. I understand this may be an intimidating place to ask those questions, but I hope you will ask them. I hope you'll ask them of me. I'm not too scary, I don't think. If you come into my office and say, "Pastor John, let's talk," I'm not going to, you know, you're welcome in and we'll talk. We have other leaders who have been looking at these things too. You know, talk to some of our leaders and ask these questions. But pruning must happen, because fruit must be born. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to call ourselves a church. And I hope that we can go through that process of pruning. And it's a painful process, but I hope we can go through it as gracefully and as filled with love and blessing each other and caring for one another as possible. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for being our vine, for being our source of life. Thank you for grafting us on and making us branches that have borne fruit for you. Thank you for this church, this Point Place United Church of Christ, and other names that it has had over the years. And thank you for the fruit that you have borne through this community. And Lord, we pray the very scary prayer to prune us. Give us the faith to know that this pruning process will result, if you do it, in the bearing of more fruit and in better times and good things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you might have been able to tell that I've been up a lot this week. I haven't gotten as much sleep with this sermon, but I hope the point comes through. It's a conversation we'll continue to have. We're going to sing a couple more songs. The first one is about following Jesus wherever he leads us. And this is about being connected to the vine. The next song is Enough. It's about Jesus being enough for us, and it's about Jesus being the vine. That Jesus is our source of life, which means we connect to him, abide in him, and we follow him wherever he goes.